way back up near almost to I-85. You know, the runoff.
Okay.
And it had fish and the shellfish, you know, the freshwater clams.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still here walnuts and scaly barks and acorns and everything, and it's shielded from the west wind. We're down in a hollow here.
Uh-huh.
It was ideal for primitive living.
Okay.
So it's real special.
When you were clearing it, what? When you moved here 13 years ago?
No, just last year.
Just last year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I had found an arrow here that was way when I was sitting on a tree.
Mm-hmm.
I dug up an arrow here and I just tore it down. And Nancy decided she wanted to expand the yard. And we were out there raking it off. The big one just came in.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Papa McGuire found it." And it was that. I brought it in, gave him a bath, and it's a quartz hammer stone.
Mm.
You want to see it?
Sure.
It has
sure.
The best feel to it. See the little brow?
Yeah, okay.
A stone plow that came from this area. Now, this hammer stone
about how old?
But I'd say it's 7,000 to 8,000 years.
Okay. Now, have you worked with things like this before, or did you have somebody in to take a look at them, or both? Or?
No one has been here.
Okay.
It's books I've studied and reference material, and this rock here, I knew there was something special about it. And I was showing it to this man from Virginia that goes by Guardian Wolf. And he looked at it and he said, "Yeah," I said, "see right there?" He said, "There's where they made medicine." And I knew what he was talking about. If they would sit down and grind, you know, and maybe pray over something, and all kinds of a ritual. And then that became a sacred object. See? And... But the little brow, well, naturally I wouldn't understand it because I don't know what he meant. And I have one in there that has carvings on it. And he said, "Well, you know, it may have been a stone that an old medicine man used to as like a tablet, something to keep from forgetting."
Okay, sure.
See? And there's all kinds of... In this on this slope right here, but you can feel the way that stone was turned from and used from all sides.
Mm-hmm. It has a nice feel.
It sure does.
And this one is the...
It's a hand axe. You know, that was just for pounding and digging. It was held like this. You know, they just put your hand. Primitive people, that's all they needed, and at the time things have changed. But this is a stone that's not even native to this area. Is a blue flint.
Okay.
You see, it's decomposed over the years.
Where do you have you a chance to figure out where the closest source of
blue flint? No, but I was at Mara Mountain, and that's the kind of stone they have there.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, they traveled and brought back stone, and that even traded. But that's the only place I know of. It's really that whole, it seems like the mountain is made of it. Oh, it's just flakes, you know, where it was one of these, it's a neutral territory where even warring tribes could go in and bring back the flint, you know, they could break it down to the basic shapes and bring it back, you know, and they, no battle went on there. It was neutral. A neutral bill, a DMZ.
Okay, right, yeah.
but that's been my interest. And when I was doing that down at the Carolina Collection, I was doing a study on the ethnobotany.
Mm-hmm.
I picked up a lot of stuff, you know, because this is not botany, but you can't separate the two, you know.
Yeah.
Part of the life, you know.
Well, have you taken much of it out, or are you just
out of the ground?
Yeah, are you just taking
oh,
your time,
only as it exposes itself. No,
okay.
There's been no digging out there.
Okay.
You see, because that's digging into someone's ground, regardless of the time, because spirits live forever. So it can be there. Even before this turned up, I knew there was something out there, and I would go out and I'd walk and I'd look and I'd walk. And then Brian just turns it up and hands it to me. And I was telling this Shawnee in Madison, and he said, "You were looking too hard." So I knew it was there. I knew something was there. But I was looking too hard.
Were there any particular signs, or was it just
the feel? Oh yeah, the feet. It's like I know a boy in Chapel Hill that he can be riding along and he'll feel a hawk. You know, there he is. You know, we know each other. See, my thing rocks and gives us more than I can imagine. You know this Indian tribe over here, the Okanichis? They're getting back together about 2 miles, 3 miles over here. They had their first powwow last fall. This fall, it was August 12th or something like that. It's unbelievable. The people that turned up and best vibes that I have felt any place. You know, from people all over, and it's a complete harmony.
What size group?
I would say there had to be 300 people there.
That's a good size.
For the first year. And they expected, you know, to increase by maybe 50% next year because of the word of how well it turned out. And this is Mary's Grove Church right over here. It was founded, I guess, by right after the war.
Okay.
You know, and I think the woman's name was Sarah Marr or something like that, but it founded a church and a school for those black people, you know. Of course, some of them's white as I am, but very nice, a proud people.
Mm-hmm.
And the people, some of the Okanichis came back, and there's one woman that I know over there, a Lovey Whittemore, is from the Indians of Person County. So they pretty much kept themselves Indian.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Bass is from Person County. Joel Bass.
Which tribe is that?
The Okanichis. They started in Hillsboro. You know, the Okanichi. You know, everything out there is Okanichi restaurant, Okanichi this and that. But there was a tribe and had a legitimate reservation. And then their reservation was annexed, dissolved, and they went north up to Virginia. And some of them stayed behind and had married, and I guess probably fought. And then later on, they returned, the ones that had gone up to this Christiansburg, Virginia, and had come back and looked up their relatives and settled back down. So that's is a good thing that I moved down here, and that's, you see, I used to have to run around and go to powwows here and there to some kind of fellowship. Mm-hmm. And here's a tribe from 3 miles away. It comes back.
Well, do you have a tribal connection?
Different ones.
Okay.
One is the Hadadair down at Bun Lao Vardhan in that area. Mm-hmm. And with the Lumbees and the Cherokees, the Iroquois Federation in Florida, and the Cherokees of Georgia. It's all over, mm-hmm. all over. So I stay out of politics and I'm accepted by all.
I see, okay.
Now get around to what you're interested in.
No, I'm interested in this. In fact, we can come back to it here later on. But maybe we're headed back in the proper direction. What I was kind of interested in starting out in is where you came from, or where your parents came from.
Daddy was one of those families with a 200-year history up at Mount Hermon Church, which is over in Alamance. It's about 7 miles due south of Graham.
Okay.
Right off of 87. You know, in that Bass Mountain area.
Right.
See, now his family had been there right in the church for 200 years. And Mama's family were pretty much Indian, and they had poor people, there's not much of a history of. They just moved around, you know, tenant farmers and ran it and never made any issue over their history except their Indian ancestry. And I've known that from my very first memories of Mama telling us that. And they were dark people, very dark. But they just moved around. From my grandfather was a welder. So how well that paid off. But half of the people were still using springs. Yeah. But that just that came through and I never got away from it. It's like a cancer, I guess, you know. Once you've got it, you've got it. It just gets bigger. It's brought me a lot of pleasure, I guess. It has, at times, a little bit of pain, you know, and not being able to do what you feel inside of you. But when I became 50, the wife said, why don't you stay home with the boys? So I've been home with them for 5.5 years.
What sort of stories would she tell you when you were a child?
Of the plants that they used and for remedies and stuff like that mostly. And Mom was a mild form of healer. You know, we burn ourselves, you know. And she'd whisper and blow on it 3 times and you could forget it. And absolutely, I have been burned so that the skin would be slicked over and hard, but it would not peel off until later after it had healed. But all of the pain was gone. And my uncle that I used to follow around and told me about the plants and and things like that. And they fried even fried toads and took the grease and put it on arthritic joints. And they did the same thing with earthworms. They fried earthworms and put it on aching joints. And they used Pipsissewa and lard for burns. You know, it healed the burn and took the pain away. And she used tag alder teas, and sometimes it was a tea, sometimes it was bark soaked in white lightning for pains, and burdock for boils as a blood purifier. And they used the burdock, and they used they made their own cough syrup, which was mullein and wild cherry bark and pine tops and a little honey. That you could buy, you know, they got your critters sewed out of the pine tops, you know, and the mullein is a decongestant. So working together, you get the fire. And you smoke rabbit tobacco for asthma.
Which is?
It's a life everlasting. It's right now it's just ready for harvesting. It's it's about this time. And the bottom leaves kind of dry. And you could strip it off and make little cigarettes. And it absolutely works as a decongestant. It's like the mullein. Mullein is one of the best things you can use on as a decongestant. And bruises, aching joints. You know what mullein is? It's a tall plant.
Right. We used to live out in Washington State and they grew just to be huge.
Maybe 6-8 feet tall.
Never knew what they were using.
Well, the reason I'll tell you the name, so you know that I'm not pulling your leg, Joanne Venable came up here, and she had slammed the door back against the bridge of her foot and had bruised it all the way through.
Okay.
So she's a good friend, and she knows her. And she and laid down on the couch, and I said, well, I'll work on that. And I wrapped her foot in mullein leaves. At that time of the year, which is the leaves are this long.
Mm-hmm, right.
And wrapped it with a hot damp towel, hot compress. And I changed the towels maybe a couple of times. And she looked at it. And all of this yellow, purple discoloration was gone. As if there was one little spot, I put my finger on that and held it just for a few seconds, took it off, and it was gone. And she worked her foot belt of it. And she said, the soreness is gone. She said, now I'll be able to go to some dance that I do with your girl. But that fast, and I'd say the whole thing maybe took more than 45 minutes. It was gone. Brian got kneed by playing football with no equipment.
Right, of course.
And he had such a hematoma that the top of all his legs broke. And you put mullein on it in hot compresses. And he couldn't ride his bus. See? And so he was out, he got a substitute. And he called the bus superintendent at the middle of the day. And he said, I want my bus back tomorrow. And he was gone. But you see, what I'm thinking is that plants, you see your Bible teaching you that everyone has one talent and some has five. See, I see plants that are doing the same thing. Some plants only heal one thing, others can heal five. See, and, go ahead. Well, look at it. I don't know. You see, only the mullein knows that. But now you know we've used it on bruises.
We can use it in cough syrup. We can also smoke it. You know, it's a decongestant. You can also smoke it to get off of tobacco. So we got already got four. So I don't know what the fifth one might be.
When your mother was telling me these stories, and she was taking the fire, did she talk about anything else? Was there anything else?
She whispered. She whispered. And I don't know what it was, but I have achieved the same thing. With, you know, you see, you can come up with your own because someone dreamed it at the start of you. Already was told, you know, by a little voice in the ear. And now I've taken and blown the fire away, burned myself, you know. And I've whispered to him, blow over it. And I say, spirit of the fire, go away. And I'll call you back another day. And it's gone. See, so I don't know what it is, but I think the thing is you have to be sincere. The next time I build a fire, I have to call the spirit of the fire. So I've kept my word. See, so we need our credibility all over. See, even the classes, and the fire, everything understands. But you have to be sincere. You were going to ask me something.
No, I'm really interested in hearing this. I'm just trying to decide whether to ask other questions or just let me know.
No,
you're going in directions that I'm interested in. What, where did you live when you were a child?
Right on, if you're familiar with. It's a little mountain range that we call Bass's Mountain because there was an old mixture of Indian and black men that raised produce somewhere on this side of the mountain. And he carried it in his wagon to ground. And people knew that he was coming from that area bringing the produce, and someone would ask others, where do you live? So they knew that everybody had heard of this man named Bass, so they say down at Bass's Mountain. So that's the, but it's, I'd say that range is part of the Uwari Range, which goes from out near Roxburgh, and it winds through the country, up through Alamance, and out by the, what we call Buckingham, which would go from there out toward Ashburn, the Uwaris. So it's part of an overthrust because you can tell from the way the front is real, it's not just a buckle, that you actually have an overthrust. Where it's real steep, it drops off, and then back here just the ripples. So something did push up. So it's a very old. It's in the same age as the Uwaris, which I think is the second oldest mountain range in the world. So we lived over there.
Was it out in the country?
Oh, it was country. I grew up on the back of farm.
Okay. What was that?
It was hard, but good. We had good tobacco land, and there was a lot of arrowheads around. And my uncle had found a 7,000-year-old axe, an axe that was up on the side of it. And then I inherited that, and I gave it to him on the field of his medicine room. So then I found something I'd rather have.
The reason that I like this is it didn't have a handle. It was always in someone's hand. And you can hold that and rub it, and you can still feel it has a certain feel. It's like, almost like a cake of soap. topic, it so feels good. So that's why it's in this sock. So it won't be a scratcher. Besides, very few people see that. That's a special sock.
Apparently that was meant to be yours.
Oh, he kept calling me after. Oh, yeah, everything can be changed. And then we get a lot of paper cases. You know, there's a couple of records out there. That's, I think it may one of the first ones may have made people uncomfortable is the highway. It's Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson, Johnny Cash, and Chris Christopherson.
Mm-hmm.
You know about the coming and going. One of them says he's a highwayman. And since I'm a turner, he's a dog and play. But you know, we can't, there's no reason to experience life always as a human being. Life is life. We got it before. But that's what they're telling me. And it was a number one hit for only like a month. It just died out. And he came out with another record that these old men are waiting someplace. It said like desperados waiting for a train. And then this other one came back out. So it's like kind of winning acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
I think what it is people like to think that I'm going to struggle for 72 years and then I'm going to go to heaven and I'm going to sing and dance for eternity in the land of milk and honey. But life is not complete in 72 years. See, only this in this form is it complete. This shape, see, as we come back as an eagle or a lion, we will experience it from a different point. What were you going to ask?
I was wondering, when you were living?
I don't know. Yeah, but I was pretty much alone, and I still am, even though I have lots of friends and acquaintances, I still withdraw, and I think it's almost necessary, you know, in order to grow. And everything has worked so well that it can't be by accident that I got married when I was 34 the first time. Which this is the boy, this is the wife. And just as I was losing my momentum at 50, it became a success. Greatest people that and they contribute so much. The chapter, which they're really fighting in, they're so spiritual, they're just completely out of the materialistic mainstream, you know, absolutely. And most of them are half my age, physical age. It's all laid out. And all of the time that it gets killed in wrecks, you know. I would say, you know. And one day I'll And you know, you can't be selfish. You know, life, as you become less and less selfish, and you have less and less material things, then you have more spiritual things. So there's no loss to it. It still stays in balance, you know. So right now I have an invitation to Florida, one to Virginia, one to Alabama, two in Virginia, to good people to send it. Now one of them in Virginia that I still don't know. I don't know what he does. But I get ready for a powwow and I had to get everything done so I wouldn't leave something undone. I would use the weed eater. And you know, this time of year, there is the crabgrass has seeds on it. And that thing threw a seed. It went right under my eye. So I was nervous. So I just lift it under and kept on working. So that just thing is going to stay on there and keep irritating. But I didn't have time to stop either. And then when I got time to stop, I went nuts in front of the mirror and got it out. So I didn't irritate my eye then. And I went to this powwow at the Greensboro or Jamestown, New York. And my eye just kept watering. It would just pour. And I had rubbed until it became almost, you know, as you say, chapped. You know. And this, right, I'll tell you his name, so you know, I'm making him up.
Sure.
And Raymond Grace. Raymond said, well, that's the first time I had met him once before. And Raymond said, well, maybe I can do something for that. And he looked at me right now. I don't know. And threw it away, my eye stopped watering instantly. It was gone. I saw him do the same thing to a girl sitting on a bench with a headache. And it's been a long day, you know, you don't eat right, you know, and stay up. And he took and he worked his hands around the head. He just grabbed it up like that and threw it in the fire. And it almost, you could almost see the fire go boom. And she was sitting there and she said, it's gone. I think he is rolling up, you know, if he's visualizing or whatever. Now everything's working together. And he's taking this like an arm and just jerking his wife. And it's gone. But that's one of the invitations I have. But he's never, and he is so humble, and he just is mild. You have to listen to him again speak. And he spent a couple of weeks. Have you ever heard of Rolling Thunder? Rolling Thunder is a Cherokee medicine name, and it was out in Lincoln, communal type things, in Carlin, Nevada. He spoke it. Do you live around Chapel Hill?
Yes, I do. But I haven't lived here very long.
Okay, he spoke down at the community church a couple of years ago. He's well known. Indians know him and people associated with and around. Always hear Rolling Thunder and Sun Bear. But those people know things that's just unbelievable. But they don't learn these things without giving up something first. They do. As long as you're interested in your ego and your own materialistic gains, that's all you've got. Absolutely. You never grow. You might amass a fortune and still be empty inside. And you got to get it first. It has to be in the right spirit.
How so?
Did debt. You can't give this in hand. I need $100. So you get away 50. See? So you can't do that. You have to give with no expectation of anything, not even a thank you. You do it just because someone needs it, someone is suffering. And you don't even give it a lot of thought about if you will need it later. You just give. And things come back to you, you know, like you give away more people. And it's not, it's just the spirit of it. You can't do it intentionally. Like a kid came down from, he came from his father. No, he was from Colorado. And he was on a vision quest. And he came and asked me my permission to have a sweat lodge. He had no sage. And he said, he just asked my permission to give me a pack of tobacco. And he never approached an elder, which doesn't mean he's been 25 years old now, but he seems to die. And he brought me to die. So I meet sage at an owl's foot. The owl I picked up over and around the road and then hit my car to take him to the sweat lodge, where he had everything he needed without ever asking. See? And I didn't know that, you know, I just came to him, and I was giving him what he needed. And it seems like if we would live like this way, our needs will always be supplied. And there's no secrets. The Bible is full of, there's got every answer that you need. And I'm not even a Christian. See? But all the answers are there. It'll tell you anything you want to know. Ask and you shall receive. Is it the knowledge of any people you ask? And if I don't take care of my own, then who will? You know? It's just it's full of all of the wisdoms. You ask.
Oh, I'm very interested in this. Did you begin to get the feelings of these, of the beliefs and the idea that there are
it comes
the
to you, it comes to you.
As a child?
When you were there, well, I had a feeling that there was something living free on this mountain. You know, I felt like it was probably free spirits. You know, and I was looking at them for them in a human form. And they weren't there, you know, and I found any traces. But years later, when I started doing the paranormal, I got the acceptance was, I was instant accepted because I was there in the right spirit, you know. And then when everything just worked out when the time was right. You know. But there's all kinds of things that can and will happen. You know, it's like at Givens, or down at it's right on the edge of open up the Penelope Swamp, you know where it is in Florida,
right.
And it started to rain. And all at once you hear this little voice that you don't think it's familiar, right? So I went and got my little bag of gifts, and I gave one to the woman I talked to and her husband. It's not right. And this is not, I have seen the same person. We were at Lake Lure. And he, man, it started, it was a cloud and the clouds were over in and were right up there, you know. And all of these traders were covering up their stuff and stuffing back in the van. And Bruce said, we don't need rain. I said, no, I don't think so. And he just looked at the clouds and started to chuckle like it was rain on my parade. And that cloud and the lightning was striking on the mountain. And all we got seen him do the same thing over here at Saxby Hall. We were having a ceremony and the fire was going and everything, and my TP was sitting up. That cloud got there, it was coming directly out of the west, and we just walked around on the west side, the fire took his eagle, his feathers, and started changing. And a little bit of the wind, the same thing, the wind sticks, trees laying back like that. And then rain dropped until it was over. And we could hardly get out of there in a four-wheel drive. Those are no accidents. And it's available to anybody that asks unselfishly. Even as gigantic as that sounds, we're all in this thing. We can work together. We work against each other. Or we can work for ourselves. Like old medicine men will go out and they don't collect their herbs, you know, in the olden days they didn't collect them until they had examined the patient. They would go out and pick seven. And he didn't know what herb he was going to get until he went out. He was whatever caught his eye or heard his attention. He was going to make a tea or a poultice or a smoke, whatever it is. And there's little things, you know, you develop these guides and they will direct you to what you need. Who you need to talk to, this old... The Catawba medicine man, I started, when I met him, he said, I knew the people I would meet before I got there. He said, one of them was a reflection of myself, and he said, this other one I knew that I'd meet, he says, was different from him, but, and he knows. One of those people came down from Virginia. Now, I'm not blowing my own horn. I'm saying what is available to people when they get their spirit right. He had been up to the Northern Cheyenne Reservation, and he got some people there. They were over 100 years old. They were out of an old mill pond. And he brought five to this power of the James Grove Church. And he gave three of them. And he said that the people that gave him the feathers, he says, you will lose them when you need them. I got one, and this Cherokee woman got one, and a man from Reedsville got the other one, Jim Davis. And a 100-year-old woman. And he had these things in a briefcase, like jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
He was on foam and velvet. He said, and he told us about, he said, tonight, he said, the feathers, you won't pick the feather. He said, the feather will pick you. And he opened up his briefcase, turned it around, and he said, I thought I got accident, but I need to brush my And I brushed my hand over. I got a tingle that must have jumped that high. It was just like a spark. So there were still two of them in there. And I went around to the other one and nothing. I came back around to that and the same thing. And this boy was sitting there watching. He said he saw my hand jump. And so I picked it up. So that left the other one for our gym. And he started giving him his instructions to what he was supposed to do. We asked him about what he felt about wearing white. And so then he told me mine. He said, take those to an elder to the south. Take him a gift that has the colors of the rainbow. And he said, watch every movement. And he said, let it in there. Watch every movement as he sees it's better. Put it in the box. candy. I gave him his 2 yields, one with a crystal, which gives you a rainbow, and the other was a rainbow clamshell. This is the rainbow clamshell. And I had it in a box mounted on velvet. Handed him the bell that was in a box. Then I backed off maybe 10 feet so I could see every movement he made. He opened it up, turned it around, held it up, and held it down. Then gave it back to him. But now, I don't know how those feathers move. I thought crystals had energy, but I have never felt anything from a crystal like it came out of an eagle feather. And he told me, he said, the spirit of the person that had this feather is still with it.